Right. Welcome. Good to see you here tonight.
And trust that we'll very much appreciate the presence of God as we meet together there. Notices for the week. They're on the welcome sheet. Little Hill Link, have a look through and see what's what there. Special things to think about this week are Men's Shed Wednesday and then... Wrong one. Men's Shed on Wednesday. And then Warm Space starts. That's this one here. That starts this Thursday in the building here. So you're more than welcome to encourage people to come along. Take a few cards and encourage people to come along. Do encourage people to come along to the men's event. I'm not having much success, but I hope you are having better success than me when it comes to inviting people. And there's also a ladies' event, cake. Again, you're getting a demonstration from somebody who is very good at making cakes. So, do invite ladies along to that there. It's all there for us and things to pray for. But to continue our worship, I'm going to read from Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And in our church Bibles, it's 469. And Psalm 42 reads like this. Good to hear paper rustling. I don't know what the sound makes on a phone when you're looking for your Bible reading, but it's good to hear paper rustling. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping a festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, of Hermon, unto Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, and at the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. As with the deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Where are you? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. We're going to continue worship with singing number 20 from the supplement. It'll be on the back wall. As the music starts, let's rise to sing to God's glory.
You are.
Let's pray, shall we? We do indeed thank and praise you, Lord, that we can come and draw near to you. You're in the heavens. You are the one that's high and lifted up. You are the one who is majestic and mighty. And we can come as people simply because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and is doing for us day by day. We thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness of sins and that redemption that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can be right with you, knowing you and walking with you day by day. And we thank you, Lord, that the steadfast love of the Lord continues forever. Doesn't change, doesn't alter, doesn't wave, doesn't wander. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way in which you continue to reveal yourself day by day to us in the ordinary things of life and in the extraordinary things of life. So we praise and thank you that we're able to come in a place and to meet without any form of hindrance. Help us, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit. Cause us to be led by your Spirit as we meet together for worship, that we might render hearts, lives, and lips that will give to you praise, glory, and honor, both now and in coming days. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
So if, like me, you don't know where Nehemiah is, it's, if you go to Psalms and then go back, Job, Esther, Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8. Ezra reads the law. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law to Moses, that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood, here we go, Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and Padiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashem, Hashbadadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their faces and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbethai, Hodiah, Masiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Pelai, the Levites, helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the meaning so that the people understood the reading. This day is holy. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go on your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went on their way to eat and drink and send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Feast of Booths celebrated. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and the Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring back branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule.
Thank you, Sarah, for being very well read. We're going to sing two hymns. The first one is from Christian Hymns 210, Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean. And then following that, we're going to sing one from the supplement, number 180, which is All Scripture Comes. And that's written by Margaret Siddons, who some of you may well know.
Spread.
It's September. Barry, you've got it wrong. You're going to tell me. Well, it's September, and the year is 444 BC. Where? In the city of Jerusalem. They'd rebuilt their capital city, and the Jews had travelled from all over Judah to be there. On the east side of the city, at the water gate, a wooden platform had been erected, and Ezra the priest, he'd been brought out of retirement to come and read the scroll from this wooden platform. That was what he was there for. The people there were lifting their hands and saying Amen. On and on. This goes on from dawn to noon with no objections. The event would be remembered for years to come. That's the scene coming from this chapter. Nehemiah had moved and motivated the people to rebuild the material wall. And now his concern is for stirring and stimulating the spiritual life of the people. A great aim and ambition. 5 points, but you know me, I'm fairly short. On points, that is. First one. An occasion, verse one. We have people gathered together to listen to the book. And this is probably the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible. This was, in fact, a turning point for the people, as the Jews would be known as people of the book after this time. We can't be sure as to the nature of the mourning, but the word of God was read by Ezra, and other leaders seem to be explaining and clarifying the words to groups of people separately. It seems to be that there. The other leaders may well have taken part in the reading of the book. One thing is certain, though, it shows the importance of the Word of God in the spiritual development of His people. Just so with us. Listening to preaching can invigorate our thirst for God and stir up our love and desire to please Him. I've got a quote there. Would somebody like to read it, please? For us. Is the preaching of the Word of God. That's exactly it. And that is what he said. And it is for the person that stands in this pulpit, but it's also for all of us. Because we're all sharing the gospel. That is why we have these events. The cake event, men's Italian event, a whole variety of different events and everyday life when we're going about. We're seeking to make Christ known. Now, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to revive and cleanse the hearts of the people of God. That's you and me, yeah? And listening to preaching in person is often more effective to preaching online. Sorry, folks. It is better when it comes to it. Well, I think so. It may well be circumstances cause you to be at home, and I can appreciate that. There will be those circumstances. But can I encourage you to come and be here in person as well, when you can. We can get easily distracted. Not just when we're young, but when we're older too. We get distracted when we're sitting there. So let listening to preaching excite and encourage you to strive and thrive for the Lord. Are you excited when you read the Word of God? Do you read the Word of God daily yourself? Do you pick up a Bible or on your phone? Do you go to a Bible on the phone and read it for yourself? Well, can I encourage you to do it? Can I urge you to do it? Because it'll do you a power of God each day and encourage you in your life for Christ. So we have an occasion. Secondly, we have open ears, verse 3. We read this: their ears were attentive to the book of the law. In other words, they've got open ears there. They took in what was said and didn't tire of listening. They didn't have cloth ears, you know. Have you heard that phrase? When, you know, you've said something and it hasn't gone in there with someone there. No, there was no cloth ears there. Their mind did not wander onto other things, like jobs, tasks, family or friends, things they were really looking forward to do. Do we allow our thoughts to wander during a sermon or a talk rather than disciplining our minds to concentrate, to focus there? As you get older, it's often harder to concentrate and to focus on things there. The mind doesn't help. And age doesn't help there when it comes to it. These people, they focused on the words and received them with understanding, verse 4. So, with listening to the Bible comes an understanding there. So, the Bible's not a magic book where changes happen because the person reads or recites it. God's word must be understood before it can enter our hearts and transform our characters there. How many times have you spoken to somebody, but their eyes or minds are elsewhere? Yeah, it happens, doesn't it? They aren't really listening. Well, let me just give you a little illustration. Imagine your son or daughter or grandchild doing their party piece. Yes? Can you imagine that there happening? Well, you would look intently. You would listen intently. Yeah? You might try and remember intently as well, but that you don't always succeed as you get older when it comes to it there. But you would comment. And you would be very positive about the comments you make there, wouldn't you? There. You would notice everything, all the little things there. Well, above all, listen to what they say. God wants the same attention given to the preaching of his word, or, if you like, reading his word day by day. So we have an occasion, open ears, and then thirdly, open Bible, verse 8. An open Bible, we are told there. The leaders moved amongst the people and made things clear, explaining and enlightening there. They brought meaning and understanding to the people. This had come about because there was no distinction between explaining the book and the offering of worship. Verse 6 says, they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Yeah. Explaining, exhorting, exposition of scripture, and the offering of worship belong together, each flowing naturally into the other. Worship can be a buzzword in some circles, which can refer to singing alone. We can adore the Lord with faithful explaining as well as wholehearted singing. What's the purpose of a cook? What's the purpose of a cook? Yeah? Well, I would say to make food edible. Yeah? But you ladies would disagree with me, wouldn't you? You'd want to add a lot more to it than that when it comes to the presentation of it. He or she takes the raw ingredients and changes it into a delicious, desirable meal that looks good and tastes good there. Well, so a preacher takes the word and makes it food to digest that we might easily grow spiritually mature. So we have an occasion, open ears, open Bibles, overflowing joy. Verse 10. It says in verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Notice that as Ezra read and explained the book, the people's response was one of conviction, grief, and tears, which you could understand. But they were encouraged not to stay there, but to move on. The word of the God that brings conviction and leads to repentance also brings joy. Joy in life there. The same word that hurts also heals there. Nehemiah, with the Levites, convinced the people to stop mourning and start celebrating. They were getting the people to refocus. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, a mum's strength and a dad's strength is limited. Yes? And it's like that, isn't it, there? But the Lord, there is no limit to his strength. Our finance may be limited. Our memory may be limited. Lots of things about us may be limited. But the Lord's strength is not limited, even though our health may fail, leaving us weak. What do? We rest more each day. Isaiah 14, verse 39 says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, both inwardly and outwardly. So, our joy is knowing that no matter what comes our way, we have a relationship with God which gives us strength. Therefore, we have joy. And Christians like this will ooze joy. They believe that God says in his word and they act upon it. It isn't a good feeling that can soon disappear. Faith based upon the word will produce joy that will weather the storms of life. Realize that joy is a byproduct of obedience. Do you know the joy of the relationship with the Lord? Do you know that you have a walk with him day by day? Are you looking into his book? Are you speaking to him there? Can I encourage you to go to him, throw yourself on his mercy, and receive his grace into your heart and into your life there. An occasion, open ears, open Bibles, overflowing joy, and lastly, obedience, verse 14. They came together on the second day and discovered that Moses had commanded the people to celebrate the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. In other words, simple dwellings which were constructed of branches and leaves. It was out of doors, and it's for a period of about a week. Now, I'm not recommending you do it at October or November in England, yes? Especially if a cold spell is coming there. So, but in their climate and in their country, it was something they did, or could do. It was a reminder that they, for 40 years they were traveling in the wilderness as a nation. It reminded them that this place, you know, Wigston, Israel, in their case, Wigston in our case, is not our homes. We're just in transit going on to somewhere else there. They were being thankful for God's protection and provision centuries earlier. It would have been a witness to the merchants and travelers who were in the communities. Yeah, because there were many, many people they'd meet and mix with in that situation. Have you made a discovery as you have listened to the word? Have you been reminded of something as a preacher has unfolded the word? What discoveries have you made in God's word recently? It may be a reminder of something that you heard and know from a previous time. We are open to the word so that we can be obedient to the word, no matter what the cost. When we come to the church building, remember, it's an occasion, something special. To come with open ears, yeah? To come, to spread open your Bible. To let the words strengthen your joy in the Lord because of the relationship you have with Him. And then finally, to faithfully put them into practice, not just here in the building, but also out there when we're living for God day by day. We're going to sing in closing supplement 169, "You're the Word of God the Father." And the chorus goes like this: "You're the author of creation, you're the Lord of every man, and your cry of love rings out across the land." Of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.